You're on ABC Local Radio across Australia. It's 21 minutes to 9. You're with James Valentine. A great pleasure to be spending the nights with you. Don't forget Quiz of the Day coming up after 9 o'clock. You could start preparing while you're thinking about things. You could start preparing and deciding what some of your answers might be. There'll be the usual open question, of course, where you can, you know, just speculate. We may get you to continue to nominate shockers of the world there, I think. That's been a very good theme so far. So we might take a look at that as the open question tonight. But let's do a little bit of travelling. And look, again, this is something of a theme. I was talking to the lead scientist on board the Aurora Australis, Australia's Antarctic flagship, which has just left Fremantle, and it's going to spend about 2 to 3 months cruising the Southern Ocean down to Antarctica, along the Antarctic ice shelf, back up to Hobart, and doing research along the way. And you just think, oh, what a great trip. What a fantastic trip. How good would that be? You know, you're just out there, bunch of scientists. The conversation would be fantastic. Guys be coming out. You should see this krill. Southern Ocean, it's 2 degrees cooler than it was last time. You know, it'd be fantastic, absolutely marvellous. And I had a similar sensation when I was reading about Steve Crombie's journey today. Steve Crombie's going around the world on a motorbike, but as well as that, he seems to be moving towards a life where he just doesn't want to stop going around the world. He just wants to keep on going and constantly travel. He's like the ultimate sort of traveller. You know, you meet people now that perhaps spend a year backpacking, or they go to sort of adventurous sort of parts of the world, and then you meet people like Steve Crombie, who just says, "I'm just going to keep on going." Steve, pleasure to have you in here.
Nice.
Just come a little forward on the microphone, and then we'll be able to hear you. Where have you just come from?
I just came back from Vancouver. So I left Australia in 2003 and travelled from Australia, New Zealand, Tahiti, Easter Island to Chile, and then travelled through every single country in South, Central and North America.
You went to every single one?
Yeah.
Can you do that in a straight line from the bottom, or you have to sort of...
Literally, across the Andes 3 times, dragged my motorbike down the Amazon for about 8,000 kilometres, whacked on the back of an ex-smuggling yacht from Colombia to Panama, and then dragged
They're all
the
ex-smuggling
yachts. Yeah, no,
Colombia,
they are. Beautiful yachts too, fantastic. But yeah, literally from as close as you can get to the Antarctic by land all the way up to the Arctic Circle. Then went for a paddle up there and then came back down to Vancouver.
Oh, fantastic. Excellent trip.
It took me 2 years, mate. It was fantastic.
So how are you funding it? Do you work along the way?
I work along the way taking photos. I've got a few sponsors that help me out with products and services. I also prepared for about 3 years before the trip and did a master's of business and learned all the branding, sponsorship and all that sort of stuff to sort of help align myself and get myself going. But the last year I ran out of money, so...
Right. Yeah, that'd be a little hard. Why are people sponsoring you?
Well, I'm aiming to be the youngest person to ride around the world by land and sea.
Okay.
And the first person to visit the 7 natural wonders of the world by land and sea. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and basically I'm also doing a lot of work with you.
So the youngest person to go around the world by land and sea, meaning what, you'll do it once by land and then by sea?
No, all by land and sea. So by motorcycle and by boat.
Oh, okay. So you came by boat from Vancouver to here?
I've got to go back to Vancouver where I left last.
Oh, I see.
And so then... I went all the way up from the South America up to North America.
Right.
And then I go back to Vancouver where I left last, then hitch a ride on a Russian tanker across to Japan, okay, then another boat to China, then up into Mongolia, Russia, Siberia, back down to Kazakhstan, then up to Northern Europe, and then continue on.
Oh, all right. And then from there, you'll have to get, back across the Atlantic?
Then next
six... You're going to go down through Africa?
Yeah. Next 6 months down to the Sahara, next 6 months down to South Africa, next 6 months back up to the Middle East, and the final 6 months back through Greater Asia, back to Australia.
Oh, okay.
All land and sea. So it's about 200,000 kilometres thereabouts.
Right.
About 100 countries.
And so when you're on land, you're on the motorbike?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice way to get around.
Yeah, oh, it's great. Except the engine keeps on breaking down, but besides
Can you fix it now?
I've rebuilt it 4 times.
Across South America?
Once in the highlands of the Andes. Second time was on an island off the coast of Venezuela in someone's garage. Third time was in Mexico City, and the fourth was in Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
See, I'm just eating up with envy. I don't even want to talk to you anymore now. How did you get to do this? How did you decide to do this? Did you have an adventurous sort of spirit? Were you a bushwalker? Did you travel around Australia all the time before you headed off to do it?
Actually, my dad was an accountant. I never did any camping when I was a kid. I think that's where it came from. Now I'm actually obsessed with travel. I'm obsessed with trying to work everything out. My dad can't even change the oil in his car, so I think that's where it came from. And I first watched the movie The Amazon with Robert De Niro. I was about 12 years old, and ever since then I was obsessed with the Amazon.
Yeah.
And then years ago, I went over there, and me and some friends, we built our own boat, bought a second-hand engine and GPS and maps, and travelled through the Amazon River by ourselves.
Wow.
And
so
then
you were down the Amazon
obsessed.
By yourself?
Yeah.
And then sort of what? And you built the boat?
Yeah.
What did you build the boat out of?
Wood. Oh, we got help.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you know how to build a boat?
No idea, mate. I barely knew how to fix a bike before I left. I could do that now, so that's all right. You learn on the road.
Yeah. And you're stuck. Stick the engine. I've seen that. I've been in Thailand, and they just put the sort of Toyota Corolla engine in the middle and just run the drive shaft into the water and just have a propeller. Was it like that? Was that?
It was through the Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's like a pecky-pecky. Yeah, it was literally like that. That's what it's called because of the noise it makes.
Like a tuk-tuk in Asia.
Exactly
the
same.
That's great.
Yeah, but they got all sorts of different methods to the Amazon travel.
Yeah. Wow. Look, I'm interested in getting Steve together with like minds. You may have done an extraordinary journey. We'd love to hear more about it tonight. 1300 222 702. You may have done a good year sort of travelling through somewhere. You may have done it by extraordinary means. I'm sure there's people out there that have done some pretty exciting journeys. 1300 222 702 is our number. I was talking to my physiotherapist only the other day. He did South America on a push bike when mountain bikes first came out, and he travelled the length on a push bike. He said he'd come into villages, and that was it. The entire village would stop and just run over.
You get swarmed.
Yeah.
Like, you have hundreds of people just crowding around you, especially in the Amazon, because I dragged my motorcycle from the Andes all the way along the river. It took about 50-60 boats in the whole trip, but on there is about... it was a hell of a long way.
Yeah.
But running these random little towns in the middle of nowhere and dragging the bike off, and all these little kiddies running out, climbing over, and all the elders sort of staying around, trying to look tough, and sort of go, it must be a 150cc motorcycle.
Right.
And you're like, it's actually 600, because I've never seen anything like it before.
Right.
So it's a whole new world.
What's it like when you arrive in a place? I mean, what is your technique for getting to know people, for saying, hi, I'm here, can I get some food, or, is it... Because you're not travelling... A lot of your travelling, I'm imagining, is not tourist as such. You're not on familiar trails.
No, it's mostly off-road.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually quite... Well, initially it was pretty difficult because I couldn't even speak the language. So initially it was all sort of hand gestures and communicating, smiling, laughing, pointing, making faces, and that was about it.
Are they happy to see you?
Yeah, always. Mate, I got so many people were so generous to me, let me into their house, grabbed a chicken from the floor, knocked their head off, whack it on the barbecue, give me the best hammock space, take me out partying. It was... amazing amounts of generosity that I paid back. So
it's good. I mean, the other thing I love about this, and I remember there was, who did I read about? Some guy, my memory must be going, must be on the cholesterol drugs. Some guy, and it's like they kayak down a river in Siberia and out into the ocean up there. And you were reading about it thinking, the world is still a very adventurous place, isn't it? You can travel like your Marco Polo. You can travel, through places that don't get a lot of visitors, that are completely off the beaten track, and you can just wander there.
They're the best places. Mm. There's not many really places like that left, and I think the world's sort of slowly killing itself these days, so I want to sort of see as many of them as I can before it actually dies. And, record it all, because I mean, there's not many frontiers left. There's Siberia, there's the various parts of Africa, there's various parts of South America, there's obviously the Antarctic and the Arctic, but the rest is all quite seriously developed. There's obviously China as well. China's going to be pretty fantastic to get into.
But that's a lot of the world, I mean, when you
that's
say quite seriously,
part of the world.
Vast parts of Asia and all of that sort of northern Russia sort of stuff. Who's going there?
It's massive. I can't wait.
You're going there, but apart from that, Wayne.
Yeah, g'day.
What did you do, Wayne?
I hitchhiked from Perth to Sydney with a caravan.
With a caravan?
Yeah.
So what, you stood on the side of the road with a caravan?
Yeah.
And you flag people down and say, have you got a tow bar, mate?
That's it.
And how did that work?
Oh, it worked great. 31 lifts, a month on the road, 17 days hitchhiking, not a problem.
And what, would people drop you off in a caravan park, or...?
Yeah, I got dropped off to some pretty funny places, I got to tell you. It's pretty weird when you haven't got a car to move the van to. And it had Stand for Love written all over it. So
it had what?
Stand for Love written all over it.
Stand for Love?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so this was, you were making a statement.
I was.
Right.
Yeah. And
when did you do this?
Across America next year.
Are you going to do it across America?
Los Angeles to New York City, yeah.
Fantastic.
Good idea.
With your caravan.
Yeah, mate. I want the United Nations to take on growing love on Earth. I don't think anyone else is doing a very good job of it.
And so how big's your caravan?
It was about 14 foot.
So a 14-foot van?
Yeah, it was enough to sleep in and had a little kitchen and stuff. And people were just fantastic. I mean, that's what you would have found too, Steve. Yeah, people just in general are great, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. But especially when you're traveling by yourself, everyone seems to have time for you.
Yeah,
and they're always ready to do whatever sort of it takes to make the mission happen. So you find it really easy across the US as well, because they've all got massive cars and giant bull bars that they don't use anyway. So I think you'll find it pretty easy.
Yeah, well, it's just a hoot, you know, and you're just completely relying. I didn't have a motor like you did. You had luxury, mate.
Yeah, in a sense, mate.
How did you come up with this idea, Wayne?
Years ago, I was travelling to work down the M4. I live in the Blue Mountains. I was going into the city, and when I saw a huge boat broken down on a trailer at the side of the road, and I just, as I was just driving past it, there was someone sitting in it, you know, and I was thinking, that's pretty funny. It wouldn't be funny if they were sitting in the boat with their finger out waiting for someone with a tow bar. And then I thought, hang on a sec, you could actually do that. And so I decided that the November 2003 was the moment to go. And so I didn't use a boat, I used a caravan. Because you can't sleep in a boat as well.
Well, no, that's right. And but isn't that amazing? You get out there and people will actually pick you up. That's so funny. Wayne, good luck with the trip across the US.
Good on you, mate. Thanks.
And thanks for letting us know. Let us know when you're going to go. Give us a call. And, you know, we'd love to find out how that trip goes. Motorbike? That's nothing.
That's an awesome journey, man.
That's funny, isn't it? You know. Who else? Did you meet other people? I mean, you're out there travelling this sort of way. Did you meet someone coming the other way towards you and they're travelling in an extraordinary way as well?
Many different people. A lot of people cycling. A lot of Germans. Germans seem to love the cycling thing.
Right.
And I met one guy walking barefoot around the world with his son had recently come along for the trip.
He's walking barefoot around the world?
Barefoot, yeah.
Do you now keep in touch? Are you...
No, I didn't actually keep in touch with him. He didn't have any type of contact details. He was like a real sort of soldier on. I've got the contact details of another guy who's riding around. Another guy, Tim Cope? You've heard of Tim Cope? He was a Australian of the Year Young Australian Adventure of the Year back in 2000. He's riding across Siberia on a horse at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Across Russia. That's pretty cool. There's a lot of amazing things. There's guys who are hitchhiking around Europe, I think, with a coffin.
Why do they have a coffin?
Just for the hell of it.
Just to see what happens.
Yeah. Good talking. And they made it all the way around as well.
Good talking point when you get picked up. Yeah. You got plenty of good photos for the book.
Yeah.
And off you can go. So there's now sort of, this is sounding like sort of an extreme sport almost. You can come up with these sort of adventures.
There's a lot of intrepid travellers out there. I actually met one guy and I was living in Casco Viejo, which is the last stronghold of Manuel Noriega in Panama City. I was living with a guy from Argentina who unicycled and hitchhiked from Argentina all the way up to Mexico. And then back to Panama, and it took him 5 years.
Unicycle.
Yeah, yeah. We used to walk around the streets of Casco Viejo. He had dreads down to his hips, riding his little unicycle, juggling and talking at the same time.
Right.
Very impressive man. And his girlfriend was a hula hoop of fire girl. They used to work the streets of Panama.
I guess that's who you meet when you're just sort of travelling along, and you don't meet the other accountants of the city, do you?
No, you never do, mate. And you see the real people as well. People are so much more real and much more passionate when they tell you these little secret stories they won't tell anyone because they know you're going to go the next day, so you often get involved in some pretty intense conversations.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing with all this? Are you going to turn it into a book, or what are you thinking?
I would like to turn it into a book. I've got a website at the moment that has thousands of photos, videos, maps, diaries, so you can click into any country and follow it on step by step. Ultimately, I'd definitely like to do a documentary. I'd like to do a book. I'd like to do everything, mate.
Yeah.
The world's your oyster. You can do whatever you want if you put your
mind to
it.
So you are recording this as you go? I mean, you're recording it on the website.
Record absolutely everything. The website's www.loston.com, LOSTON. And, that has everything. That's what I try and do is record everything so other people can experience it from first-person narrative rather than hearing it through a travel book or hearing it through this and that actually see the people, up front and experience the emotions in a little daily diatribe.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, good on you. I think it's just a great thing that you're doing and, a marvellous sort of... I mean, you're now sort of thinking to yourself, you'll just keep on travelling.
Ah, definitely, man. After this, I've always wanted to sail around the world.
Right.
But I don't know how to see how that works out. I was going to go to the moon, but I think that's a little bit too difficult.
Look, I think within your lifetime.
That's what I reckon.
You're a little younger than I.
Yeah.
And I think, by that sort of point, the moon thing will be pretty normal.
I'm thinking around 50 or so.
Around 50 or so. It'll just be, you just blast off.
Exactly that. I think
it'll be
trying to get some sponsorship happening,
I wouldn't go outside. I wouldn't do the motorbike thing on the moon.
No, well, you never know. You could.
Maybe by then.
Hovercraft.
It'll be all right. You're also, you do have a charity connection as well. You've got some concern with youth suicide.
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
I'm doing a lot of work with Youth and Search to help raise awareness of youth suicide and basically to inspire other people to go out and live their own dreams and turn them into reality and, help with their goals and aspiration and direction and to, give them a sort of, new list, new direction. Youth and Search is an amazing group of people. It was first founded by Ron Barr over 20 years ago.
Mm.
And they do really, really good camps that sort of the success rate's amazing. Like the way they transform these kids is mind-blowing, what they do. And so based on the adventure, we've set up a system where people can donate like 1 cent per kilometre, 1 cent per 10 kilometres, or 1 cent per 100 kilometres over the period of the trip, so they can actually see how, you know, someone's helping to make a difference with these guys, and then help them expand their camps around Australia. Currently, it's focused mostly on the East Coast.
Yep.
So we're aiming to raise as much as we can to get them all the way around Australia.
Yep.
Because I want a few organisations that I've seen that actually really do empower young people on a personal level, you know, one-to-one, and make an amazing difference to a significant amount of people.
Terrific. Good on you, Steve. Nice to meet you. LostOn.com is the website. www.loston.com is the website if you want to get further information and follow Steve's journey around the world. All the best with it, and I look forward to talking to you over the years.
Thank you very much, James.